This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Guys, welcome to Full Blast Podcast. Guess who's back? Lila's back, of course. Before we get into it, we've got a lot to cover. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We'll talk about our business. First things first, I want to thank my friends at Broadbeck Ironworks, makers of the 2x72 grinder. This grinder is unbelievable. And I'm looking forward to seeing those guys at Blade Show, and you should go definitely check out what's going on with them. But in the meantime, you can go to BroadbeckIronworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you get 10% off everything, the grinders, attachments, parts, and so. Many thanks to my friends at Broadbeck Ironworks. Once again, you're at the Blade Show. You got to go see my guys at Even Heat, manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-hill.com. You got to get that tap control, solid state drive, whatever you want, whatever you need. This is the one for you. And if you go to evenheat-hill.com, you can see what the fuss is about. And if you're going to Blade Show, you can see them in person. But let me tell you, I got two of them, and it's made my life easier. It's made my business better. And if you're trying to harden steel, this is the machine for you. Speaking of Blade Show, I want to thank my friends at Maritime Knife Supply, who are sponsoring me to go down to Blade Show, which I'm excited about. For all your knife-making needs, belts, abrasives, steels, kilns, forges, press, heat treating ovens, anvils, and everything else you need to get started or resupplied. They're in Canada. They ship with ease. And they have all sorts of great stuff, including, if you're a bladesmith, they have that amazing 1080 hex bar that's perfect for integral bolster knives. I'm a huge fan of those guys, and Lawrence has become a friend. He's just incredible facilitator, and he'll get you squared away. So go to MaritimeKnifeSupply.ca, MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, and what you can do is if you get a 10-pack of abrasive belts, you're going to get 10% off. Many thanks to Lawrence, and once again, he's sponsoring scholarships at some of the schools that I appreciate, New England School of Metalwork, CMA. And if that's good enough for you, that's good enough for me. So Maritime Knife Supply. I want to thank my friends at Trojan Horse Forge, makers of the Saburel knife finishing vise. They are also knife makers. They're also teaching classes, and they're also doing stuff like this amazing T4 Sentinel Oil. Their Saburel knife finishing vises are great and unbelievable. And if you put in the promo code FULLBLAST10, you get 10% off. I'm a huge fan of those guys, and I support all the things that they do. Small business, trying to make it happen. I'm with that. Next are my friends at Baker Forge. Baker Forge are the makers of incredibly amazing exotic steels. Not to mention they make their own etchant called Gator Piss. But they sent me a message that I want to make sure you know. If you're going down to Blade Show, they're going to be hosting an event at Blade Show University. That's June 6th at 1:30. You can join Gray Blades, JB Blades. And they're going to do a step-by-step process to level up their game when it comes to level up your game when it comes to etching Damascus in Gator Piss. They're going to have in-person demos with Damascus knives in both carbon and stainless. And the topics they're going to be covered are proper cleaning preparations, stacking oxide techniques, and sealing oxides to preserve finish. That's an in-depth look of at the new Gator Pisses product, Gator Piss products. There's Gator Piss Max, Gator Piss Heavy. They're going to do an in-depth look at that, and they're going to have an introduction of a new, introduction of a new nano ceramic technology from Baker Forge, which is going to be announced prior to the show. There's going to be opportunities for Q&A, and they're going to have Damascus industry experts, so definitely go check out that if you're at Blade Show. Meanwhile, definitely get yourself some of that Baker Forge steel. And if you put in the promo code Full Blast, you're going to get 10% off everything. All that copper, my sand, my mosaic, Damask, all that stuff. And you got to use that Gator Piss Max, Gator Piss Heavy. They're going to have all the information there. And you can also get your Gator Piss at Texas Ferry Supply. TexasFerrySupply.com for all your bladesmithing, blacksmithing, however you identify, all that stuff. You can get yourself some of that. What I do, I get the Rhino Wet down there. You can get other things. And if you go to TexasFerrySupply.com and you put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you're going to get 10% off everything. So highly suggest checking out Texas Ferry Supply. Those Evan and my guys are. I think they'll be at Blade Show too. I'll get to see them again. I want to thank my friends at Total Boat. I want to send my deepest condolences to Kristen Brown at Total Boat, whose Celtics have lost. And she sent me, she told me that the Knicks would never win. And she's sad. She sent me a cry face when the Knicks wiped the floors of the MSG with the Boston Celtics. And I told her, hey, listen, don't be sad. You can join us here and be a Knicks fan. There's more than enough love over here in New York for anybody who wants to jump on the bandwagon. You want to jump on the bandwagon, I'm with you. Don't cry. Be a Knicks fan. So many thanks to my friend Kristen Brown in her time of need. And I'm with her 100%. All jokes aside, Total Boat's the best. I get the two-part epoxy. I get the UV cure clear resin. And I also get the dyes that you work for the two-part epoxy. So go to totalboat.com/fullblast. And all the links are in the show notes where you read this or where you listen to it. And then if you're going to read it, all the links, the hyperlinks, all that stuff, all the deals is squared away. But if you go to totalboat.com/fullblast, that is the affiliate link that gives me street cred and gives you some savings. So that's good. I want to thank my friends at GL Hansen & Sons. It's g._Hansen & Sons, gcard.bigcartel.com. It's G-Card is a unique composite of natural fibers and fabrics mixed with epoxy under pressure. Bofa, Ripple Cut, Tuxini, Mahi Mahi, Radio Worm G-Carda, Pheasant, Colorama, Hoopla. You heard them all. You heard me talk about them. So, I mean, it's the best stuff. It's great. Put some razzle dazzle in your wing wang. It's the best stuff. I love it. I use it all the time. And now my customers are asking for it specifically. So definitely check out my guys at GL Hansen & Sons, and I'm a huge, huge fan of that material, and I'm a huge fan of Greg and Mikey and what they're doing. It's just really amazing. So get on board. Go to gcard.bigcartel.com and get you some. Next, I want to thank my friends at Tormek, celebrating 50-plus years of being in business with the Black TA sharpening system. Go to tormek.com. This is a water-cooled sharpening system that is going to change your game. If you are at Blade Show, go see my guys, Sebastian. He'll be there. My man, Carl Friends will be there. Maybe Jack Buckley. If Jack Buckley's there, you don't want to miss. So go check out what's going on over there. I'm telling you, it has made me a better knife maker. It's like using a whetstone, except for it's rotating, so you're getting a little bit more abrasive. And you get water, so you're not worrying about overburn. You know, you're ruining your temper and all that stuff. It is really, really good and has made me a better knife maker by far. So Tormek.com or follow them at Tormek_sharpening Instagram. I want to thank my friends at Nordic Edge. It's Nordic_Edge. If you're in Australia, get yourself involved with some of that great knife making stuff that they're making. Actually, their file guides are amazing. I think that you can get their file guides at Maritime Knife Supply, so it's definitely worth it. Screw on carbide is unbelievable. And if you're in Australia and you're just like, I'm listening to Knife Talk and I'm listening to Full Blast and I want to get involved with knife making, but I don't know if I want to make that effort to buy all this stuff that Jeff's talking about. Well, go to Nordic Edge. They're teaching classes, teaching blacksmithing classes and bladesmithing classes and spoon carving, leatherworking. Just dip your toe in before you start pulling that wallet out and start spending all that money. See if you like it. I would do that. And if you go to nordicedge.com.au, you're going to be dealing with really great instructors, Sausage Man, Forge, Bjorn. These are really great guys. Mert Tans, who's behind them, that's good enough for me, good enough for you. NordicEdge.com.au. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank my friends at Phoenix Abrasives, suppliers of superior abrasive products for every application, knife making, metal fabrication, glass fab, floor sanding, and crankshaft, whatever that is, belts, grinding discs, cutting discs, flap discs, surface belt conditioning belts. I like them because they have a huge, wide selection of belts from different people in different places. And I'm picking and choosing what I want, and I'm buying belts a la carte, which is something that apparently is getting harder and harder to do. And if you go to phoenixabrasives.com, put in the promo code FULLFB10 at checkout, you're going to get 10% off your order, which is great. And it gives me street cred, and it gives you savings. 10% off belts is outstanding. But I am a huge fan of these guys. I'm going to see them at Blade Show. Say hello for sure. And I'm appreciative of them as well as all my sponsors. And now, without any further ado, my buddy's here. Lila is here, back from college. She has finished her sophomore year in college in California. She's here for a couple of days. Lila, how are you?
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo to you too. How are you doing? How are you doing, yo?
I'm good, yo.
How was your year?
It was good. It was packed with challenges. It was packed with, you know, lots of growth. It was another great year. I'm happy to be done with it, but happy to have had it.
How would you describe the difference between freshman year and sophomore year?
Well, I think like freshman year, it was just such a blast and so different than high school and middle school and everything I had known that I was focused on the fact that I could live a different life from one that I have lived before, you know, like complete independence. Hmm. And then, you know, this year, like the classes were a lot harder, but I was taking a lot of classes that were more, you know, for my major. I wasn't taking as many prerequisites, which is cool. And then I did some, you know, stuff outside of school. I worked a little bit and like did more music stuff. So, you know, it was great. It was a great year. It was challenging, but I feel very happy with how it went.
I thought you were pretty stressed out at the beginning of the year. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I honestly don't even really remember why, and that's how it always goes. But, well, yeah, you know, the last time we talked was in December, right? Or January?
Yeah,
I was stressed. I took some hard classes this semester, but, you know, they were great. So I'm happy. But it's like, you know, I'm on the other side now, so I can say that everything was fine because I'm done with it, you know?
I would imagine that the first year is kind of like getting your orientation because you don't really have a system in place. You're moving out of your house with us and you're finding the campus and figuring out what you like and what you don't like. And, you know, in terms of like getting meals, what time you get meals, what time you go to, you know, do your classes, and you're trying to get your bearings squared away. So when your sophomore year comes, you kind of have a little bit more understanding of what you're doing and where you're going and all the ins and outs of the campus.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. And I feel like that was a bigger adjustment period, like looking back, than I had realized in the moment, you know? Hmm. And coming back, especially like this last semester, I felt very much like I knew where I was in the scope of the school, where I was in my major, where I was just in the community. And it takes a lot longer to feel that way, I think, than I had anticipated, you know?
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, frankly, I was a little surprised that I remember, you know, your mom was telling me that, especially in the beginning of the year, you were a little overwhelmed. And I tried to, you know me, I try to leave you alone a little bit just because I feel like you don't need me saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on? You know, yeah. So I kind of like give you a little space. But I was surprised that you were a little overwhelmed in the beginning. But because I just thought, you know, like she's going to hit the ground running. She knows what everything's going on. Do you think that you kind of put too much on yourself this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that like, well, let me think about this. I think that, you know, last summer I was home. I was working at the bakery like nearby in New York. And I loved it so much. And I just had a really hard time going back to school because, you know, I felt like I had found something that I really enjoyed. And I had a lot of purpose. And it was just like a long adjustment to get back into like, all right, I'm doing school, my priorities are my grades, you know, it's not about like making money and like hanging out with my friends as much. It's like I'm in school, I'm in like a high level institution. I don't want to waste my opportunity. And so I think I had a hard adjustment this past fall, and then this winter break was just honestly brutal, like, for, you know, some things we'll get into. And then I think like this spring semester, this
radio tease, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
radio tease. Third quarter. When we get to the third quarter, we got a story to tell you. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Stick around. And then like spring semester, I was like recovering from some health issues, we might say.
That's part of the. Is that part of the third quarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I like came into my spring semester just like maybe a little tired, and then I may have put a little too much on my plate, but you know what? I got it all done and I don't regret a thing. So
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that you wanted a job on top of your major, you know, I don't, I'll brag a little bit. You hit Dean's List every semester. You know, you're working hard. You've declared your major. And I was a little bit, you have an amazing radio show that we're going to talk about in a minute. I am kind of surprised as your father not putting, I don't, see, the weird thing is I didn't want you to have any financial pressures of having to make money because I thought, like, what do you need money for anyway? And, you know, you go out a little bit of money here, money there. But, like, I didn't feel like you needed to spend your time with a job only because I really wanted you to focus on your education. But you were insistent on getting a job, which turned out to be a great job. Why do you think you needed that job?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. Because I feel like you and I especially kind of went back and forth on this for, like, a while. And, okay, let me give a little context.
Go ahead.
So, this bakery, which specializes in croissants, opened up, like, very close to my college. Like, about a year ago. So, I had, yeah, or maybe a little bit less. I had already worked at the croissant bakery in New York, and I was, like, obsessed with it. Like, I got a lot of enjoyment out of it. I learned so much. What really came down to is I just really loved, like, my boss and my coworkers, and I think that's why I liked it so much. And I think I just like using my hands, honestly, and, like, making things. And so I was really obsessed with that, and I had a really hard time, like, coming back to school and, you know, not being with them and, like, not having this type of responsibility that I had at that job. And, you know, I was a valuable player.
You were
there.
Given a lot of responsibilities, yeah, from the owner. The owner of the Little Star Bakery loved you, and, you know, texted with you while you're in college,
right?
And, you know, you felt like she gave you an incredible opportunity, and you were kind of like trying to chase that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, when you're in college, it's like everyone's kind of doing the same thing, and it's not always like a team sport. It's everyone's in it for their own things, whatever. So this place opens up, and it's just, like, I felt like I had already gotten, you know, when you're making croissants, it's, like, a very niche bakery task to do. You know what I'm saying? It's,
yeah,
like, it's not, like, making bread. It's, right, like, very particular, especially at a place that, like, specializes in croissants. Like, nothing's frozen. It's, everything is, like, we make it from the beginning. And, like, that's pretty unique, I'd say. And then, so this place opens up, and it was just, like, kind of unbelievable, and I felt like since I had kind of miraculously, like, obtained these skills and kind of an understanding of the process, I was like, it feels like a mistake for me to not try, you know? Like, I really wanted to try and see if I could do it and, like, bring the experience I had in New York, which is, like, you know, like, our hometown and, like, a place I've grown up and I know everyone here, and, like, see if I was able to bring that somewhere where I had no connections. And, like, that felt really important to me for some reason, and I think it was really about, like, I wanted to see if my skills, like, transcend our community a little bit, you know?
Wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to see if it was real or not, or if everyone was, like, glazing me.
Bro, you know what, bro? That was such a awesome answer. I didn't expect you to be so, like, insightful, because it is totally true. You learn something from someone in a little shop in this town, and will, is the experience that I had, is it some sort of mirage of the expectations of my qualifications?
Exactly.
Or can we do this or not? I think that's amazing. I didn't ever, you know, you never said that to me.
Well, that's what your podcast does, you know? Yeah. you bring out the truth, I guess.
I pry.
Yeah.
That's my job, is to pry. No, but that's really great. I mean, I think that, you know, that's the one part about you going completely across country, which bothered me, was the fact that you're so far away. But this has given you the opportunity to really be like, all right, well, you know, it's all on me now.
Right, exactly. And I think, like, you know, I remember when I was applying to colleges, and a big thing I would say was that I wanted to go away to college and, like, be able to figure things out on my own and make my own community and, like, you know, kind of just, like, do my own thing.
Right.
Because, you know, like, especially I was applying to college during the pandemic. Like, I was home literally, like, all the time. It was a completely different experience than, like, a normal high school experience might have been. And I think that just really, like, honestly pushed me, you know, to, like, see what I could do. And Yeah, I mean, like, that job was great. I learned a lot from it, and I made a lot of connections. And then it was like, you know, like, our school newspaper did a report on the fact that I was working there, which was really cool. And, like, I met a lot of people in the community because, you know, just, like, people who worked at different shops down the street and stuff. And it was important, you know? So I think I, like, proved to myself that, like, I do have skills and I'm capable of doing things on my own. I think that was a big lesson I wanted to learn, and I got it.
Look at you. Look at you. I would also think that, like, you know, a lot of people can get a job as a barista, or, you know, you people work at fast food places and you don't see it being a specialized skill. But the fact that you had, like, a real specialized baking is not easy. You don't hire bakers out of, you could train someone off the street, but not, it's not very often.
Right.
And the fact that you were in such a kind of a highly skilled thing, this whole croissant thing is all you. I mean, your grandfather, my dad baked, but he couldn't make croissants. And I made croissants at culinary school. I hated every second of it.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's like, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that, like, it must have felt good that you were qualified enough to get a job as a baker in a croissant shop, you know, off the street, basically.
Totally.
That's cool.
And then, like, you know, I interviewed with them and there was a lot of, like, back and forth just because I was, like, a student and whatever. But they were, like, they wanted me, and we went, I had been talking to them for, like, a couple months before they had hired me. Like, for, it had kind of been in the process for a long time, and, like, I was just persistent, and I think I showed them, like, pictures from what we made at my old job, and it was, like, a huge confidence boost for me that I think I needed, like, especially at that time, you know? So, it also just made me feel like the job is important to me because I think getting outside of, like, the bubble of my college was important, and it, like, gave me a lot more perspective in my classes too, you know?
Did you feel respected by the job because you had experience elsewhere?
I mean, like, everyone who worked there had experience, and I was definitely the youngest. And I mean, I don't know if I people, like, respected me, but it wasn't like I was the lowest of the food chain.
No, did you feel respect for the fact that they didn't say, oh, you don't have the skills we want. We need someone with a little more skills. The fact that you kind of passed the test, did you feel like that was a degree of respect?
Yeah. I mean, like, I know people who had applied there and, like, they got rejected, and it was clearly, like, they were looking for people who
had some
took it very seriously.
An experience.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, that was awesome. It was definitely a different environment than, you know, my job at home, but it was great.
Well, you know, the funny thing is we all talked about this, is your mother and I kind of knew some people to help you get some jobs, and the jobs that you had found the most, what's the expression, you felt the most rewarded by, were the ones that you found yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're backing off. I mean, I told you after that last job that you were just like, oof. You know. Without saying anything else, I told you, I'm done. You're on your own, dog, because you do it better than I. You don't need my help. You don't need my help.
Yeah, you know.
Jeez.
Even the bad jobs, you learn something from them, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So the next thing we got to talk about is your radio show. Second season, or I guess second semester, second season.
Yeah, second season.
Second season. So you did your freshman year, you had the show or no?
Yeah, fresh. It was second year, first semester.
Second year, first semester. And then you did second year, but you did both semesters.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, dude, I do not know. You know, one of the things you did, you know, get, I think that which was an amazing part of the pandemic was you became very proficient in music. Like, we had always done music classes and different things, but you really gained a love and appreciation for music, like a very intense love and appreciation for music during the pandemic. Your radio show is so fabulous, and to the point where I just don't know, because I'm not going to throw any shade towards, you know, your school and stuff like that, but they didn't teach you how to organize a show, how to talk up a song, figure out how to talk, figure out when you're not rambling. How did you learn how to do a radio show?
Well, I think that, let me think. Okay. When I was in high school, I found this podcast called Bandsplain, which is on Spotify, and it's the podcaster or journalist, whatever, her name is Yossi Salik, and I was just so infatuated by her podcast. I took, like, major, and I still do, I take major inspiration from her podcast. You know, she does, like, deep dives on bands. Like, she'll do, like, 6-hour episodes on, like, the entire history of, like, The Cure, you know? And, like, she does, like, very intense research. She finds, like, old things from all these archives, and she just gets, like, really into the research, and she'll also play, like, a lot of songs that, you know, define the history, or, like, you know, just, it's just so good. And I was really, really interested in that, and I felt like I learned so much. And, you know, another part of why I wanted to go to the school that I wanted to is because they had this radio station and I really wanted to be involved in it. And, you know, it took like a little while, but I just wanted to, you know, talk about the things that interested me. Like, Mom and I always talk about music. We're always sending each other stuff. I grew up listening to the radio. You always had the radio on. And I feel like, you know, and probably even your podcasting, too, had, like, an impact on me, you know?
Well, I loved, there's a couple good things and a couple bad things. The bad things are because you're able to play music. They can't, obviously, for, I guess, copyright, you know, and stuff like that. You can't record the episodes. It's not like, there's not a link.
Right.
Which is a downer because, like, I feel as though your two seasons were very, very good, and every one of them was really, really good. And the reasons why they're really good was the fact that not only did you pick playlists, it wasn't just one group, but you picked songs that you thought were really, you had these themes, like the relationship between how one song influenced another, or there was a lot of, then there was the New York episode where you played a lot of music from New York bands, and then you had a real strong connection with the, each show was important. That's the one thing that I think that radio people and podcasters don't realize is you really need to focus how important each episode is as opposed to how you sound or how it works with the next episode. You want to, you almost have to think like whoever's listening to this is their new people. And you had that. Like, I didn't feel as though I didn't feel like there were any callbacks in your episodes. I thought it was incredibly well packaged. But what I was amazed at the most was that you were able to pace yourself in between the songs. Because sometimes you start talking and all of a sudden some, like, you think Eureka's happening. Next thing you know, you've rambled for 5.5 minutes. Trust me, I know all about it. And then you do 1.5 minutes between songs. And then you're doing, you know, 7 minutes here, 4 minutes here. Your pacing was amazing.
Thank you. Thanks. It's funny, like, well, one of my favorite radio stations is 94.7 The Block, and I love it so much, and whenever I'm in the car, it's always on. And the one thing that bothers me is the ads are so long, and I think about that, and, like, no shade, 94.7 The Block, I love you guys, yeah, and I understand nice. you gotta pay the bills, but, like, I think that I just would think about when we would drive in the car and it was like we drove for like 15 minutes and heard one song, and it's just like no one wants that, you know? And it's also like no one wants to hear me talk for like, you know, an absurd amount of time. Like, I understand. And so, you know, I try to keep it short. But it's fun when I have other people on. I started doing that this season. I had a couple people on, and that was a lot of fun. But that's an entirely different game, which I'm sure you're pretty familiar with, is like kind of guiding the conversation. But it's different because it's like I'm trying to play songs in between our conversation and have it sound normal.
I don't know how you do that.
It's hard. You just got to go with the flow.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because the reason why, so on Knife Talk, we'll do ads in between questions, you know, to kind of like split them all up.
Right.
Because it makes it more like a radio show.
Yeah.
But I feel as though I'm so conscientious of having a good conversation that I do all my ads in the beginning. So, yeah, if you people want to fast forward them, they can fast forward them. But there's not me like saying, oh, before you, Lila, before you say that, let's get into, you know.
Right.
And what happens is it makes me less likely to be listening. You're doing what's called active listening. I learned that from Howard Stern, where it's like you can't worry about what you sound like, as opposed to you're trying to listen to what the person says, or you ask a question, they say something, and then maybe you'll kind of pick on something that they said. You might not get to all the questions that you've had, but if you have a compelling enough conversation, it doesn't really matter.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, it gets people wanting to listen to more. So I really want to, if I had to play songs in between this, I'd be boned. I mean, you
Ayo.
All right. Okay. Easy. Ayo is right. That's the right way to say Ayo. But if I had to play songs in the middle of this conversation, I couldn't hit the post like you hit the post.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I think the big thing that I've realized is, I've learned a few things. It's like what you're saying about having a compelling conversation is definitely something I think that I keep in mind, because like no one wants to hear someone get like cut off. Like, that just would sound so awkward. And it's like, you know, the people that I brought on have really good things to say, and I'd rather them talk and like say the interesting things. And if we don't get all to all the songs, we don't get to them all, and like they can just come on another time. But you know, what's challenging is like with my show, it's an hour long once a week. And you gotta be, like, really focused on, like, you know, doing all the songs and, like, getting all the little tidbits you want out. Like, I had Polly Belladino. I almost said Polly Pasta. That's his Instagram.
Polly Pasta. I gotta get him on here.
Yeah, no, you definitely gotta get him on. But we did a show together. It was all about, like, Led Zeppelin, and it was chronological. And he had such good things to say. We just didn't get to the last two albums. And that's fine, you know? He was such a good guest, and, like, it's just, it's better that way than to get to all of it. Because, you know, no one's really thinking, I don't think people really care about, you know, all the, I don't know, all the
you don't have to hit
bureaucracy
all
of it all, you know?
Well, sometimes, if you, like, I think if I have someone new on the show, I'll do an origin story. And you feel as though you need to hit certain points, you know?
Right.
But the problem is the listener also knows that you're trying to, like, hustle through, you know, someone's entire history in a short amount of time. And then it becomes very like it can become like an interrogation.
Yeah.
And unfortunately you have to kind of like weigh the way you interview someone with is this a good listening experience or not? Like I was on I had a guy on and he just would answer questions and wait for me to like ask another question. And I felt like and I had paper in front of me. That's the one thing I didn't think that when you were your first interview, I didn't feel as though I could tell that you were listening. I didn't feel like you were looking at paper. That's a big problem too, because when you're interviewing someone and you have a list of notes, you can actually, I've been on podcasts where they'll ask me a question and then they'll just kind of like change gears because I can tell that they have a piece of paper in front of them, as opposed to if I say something outrageous, you should say, well, why did you say that?
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden it becomes an interesting conversation. So what I try to do is I try to get away from paper. And now I've recently gotten back into paper. Instead of writing questions, I'll do a timeline of what I want to get accomplished. And
that's
just
good.
And like I've been doing them for when I did the two solo shows, because I really wanted to make sure I hit certain points at certain times. But when you start to write questions down and somebody sees you, you know, you can hear when somebody has questions. And what happens is if you have questions, you're looking down at paper, you're not listening to something that the person's saying, and then you can have them say something that they wouldn't possibly have said before.
Right, definitely. And, you know, it's funny, like, I remember when I first had my classmate on, Jayshree, because she makes her own music, and we did, like, you know, a little interview about her music and what she's influenced by, and it was great. And I remember that was, like, the first person that I had on, and you told me, like, you know, like, focus on the conversation, you know, and, like, my strategy was to come prepared, but also, like, be prepared to go off script a little, because you definitely emphasize the importance of having a good conversation. And I think that it ended up going really well. And like,
really well.
You know, I think it's fine if you don't get to everything. It's like, this is very low stakes for me. And also, like, I'm trying to be conscientious because there's always someone that goes on right after me. It's like, it's very tight, you know?
Well, I could say some jokes.
Fun.
I could say some jokes.
All right.
but you know, what's interesting, too, is like a lot of people, a lot of people come on a podcast because they think that they're going to get some sort of press junket thing, or they're going to get people to like go to their website and stuff like that. And if they feel as though if you don't say everything that they're trying to get across, it's a miss. But if you become compelling enough, the people are going to find you out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But also what was amazing is when you had Polly on, and I'm going to get Polly on here at some point. I love Polly. Polly is your bass teacher. He's an incredible musician. And he came on and you did the last show, the finale show, the Led Zeppelin show. And what I was amazed at, he's such a good storyteller. And he is so well. You want to talk about an artist. If you go follow Polly Post on Instagram, Polly is an incredible guitarist. He shreds.
Dude.
He can play anything. But he has this understanding of music that is so like, it just comes out of him. And when you hear him talk about music, you see a guy who's like living and breathing excellence in his craft. And that's the one thing that I think it becomes very difficult. There's a lot of people who say, well, when am I going to become famous, or when am I going to be able to be successful, or when am I going to, you know, they're wondering, they don't realize that it's like, it's a compulsion. You think about art as being, if a real artist is compelled, or it's a compulsion that they can't control. Polly just epitomizes the idea of finding that something that you love and just devote. I mean, he's like a monk. He's like a monk to music. No, he is.
No, he because, is. Like, you're right.
But the great part is like he's got such exuberance when it comes to talking. You were very, very good with him because you didn't have to. If you had him on, you wouldn't have to. I mean, when he comes on here, I know that that's going to be one of them days where I'm not having to do any heavy lifting.
Yeah.
I'll put my feet up.
No, 100%.
And I'm not going to have to. I'm not going to play any music. But the fact is, you had this really great guy, great talker, but you were very, very good at bringing him in for a landing. That's what I call, you know, like having these kind of easy moments. It's not weird transitions. It's like bringing someone into for a landing. And you were very, very good of not cutting him off to say, let's get to the next song.
Thank you. You
brought him in for a nice, easy landing, and then you played the song, hit the post, and then you did it every time. Because it's not easy because he's a great talker, and you just like, and you don't want to interrupt him because you just want to be like, oh, he's doing all the good stuff.
Polly is so good. And see, like, the thing is like, we've been having conversations like that, like, for years. Like, he was my bass teacher for like a while, like, about like 5 years ago, since 5 years ago. And a lot of my musical understanding, I definitely have to give him credit for. And what I love about Polly and what was so great about having him on is he's like very, like, he's such a good critical thinker about music, and he does such a good analysis of music. It's not just like chronological, like I'm telling you when the albums came out and like who's playing on them and like, you know, all this, which is like great, but it's like he's clearly thought about so much about music and musical history and how it's informed music today. And he had such good thoughts to share, and it was like I needed to hear them for myself, you know. And he was awesome. I think he's definitely going to be on again. He was great.
How do you, when you finish recording an episode, and you know, and I'm one of my favorite things is we get home, walk the dog, we're running back, make sure we're on time. I have the tuned up. I love sending you messages, and it isn't messages none of it's your fault. It's always, I don't know what's going on with that radio station. They always have the volume's very low. Or like the volume's all, like, there needs to be a program director in there. If I was the program director, oh my God, there'd be such tears. You have no idea. I'm not kidding. Lie. I'm not. I say this about other maker podcasts. If I was the program director, there would be so many hurt feelings. It would be unbelievable. But if I was at the radio station, I don't understand that. I used to send a message. I would send you a message. You got to put your vocals up. Or you got to put this up. I loved sending you messages of like, that was awesome. That was really good.
Yeah, I love that too.
I really enjoyed being able to, I wish you could take phone calls. That would be amazing.
I know. Well, it was hard. Like, I was trying to figure that out with Polly. Yeah. I just had to like mic my phone up.
Oh, really? That's how you did it?
Yeah, that's how I did it.
That sounded great.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I was like trying to, you know, I saw
shit.
the levels, you know, like the volume levels, and I was concerned it didn't sound very good. But yeah, I just mic'd up my phone.
I'm surprised that you were able to do that. That was you had to plug your phone into the board?
No, I literally
held the fucking phone up to the microphone.
I held my microphone. Fuck. I held my phone upside down and I like leaned it against whatever is it, like my water bottle or something, and I mic'd it up like almost like super, super close. Like I almost touched the speaker with the microphone and I just had it on full blast.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, so there you go.
I'm shocked.
Insider secret.
I'm shocked. I figured Boom. You had one of these things going on.
The like dongle?
No. No. Hey, yo. What's
going
on?
Hey, that's the technical name.
I know. I know all about it. But
I'm sure.
I didn't expect you to just kind of like put your phone up to the microphone. It sounded way better than that. I thought it was just
some bullshit
college radio. That's the best they can do.
Hey,
I mean, if they can't
keep
the volume
up. They didn't even have anything. I just had to mic it up. Dude. What was I supposed to do?
Oh my God.
Made it happen though.
You did make it happen.
Whatever.
That was a really great episode. You sounded way better than I expected.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is because there's so many people, it's always a gamble if you're going to sound good or not, which kind of sucks. But I'm thinking of coming on to a different platform and just doing it myself, honestly.
You know what? This is the move. And I know that Craig does it with his podcast called Pop something or other. I forgot the name of Craig's. It's the Pop Show. I think it's the Pop Show. And he does it through Spotify. And then I don't think he probably pays a little bit, but he's able to play music on Spotify and run it on Spotify. So
because
you don't need that. The problem is people are like, well, I want to hear it. And it's just like, well, they only plays at, you know, a certain amount. Funny enough is I had Christian, my college friend Christian was listening to it and he says, wow, this sounds great, but it's so low in the volume. I'm like, let me take care of that. So I text you guys, you got to turn the volume up. And he goes, well, he's wow. All I told you was it didn't sound loud. And all of a sudden it got loud. I'm like, yeah, I called the engineer in and we got it all squared
in.
Away.
Yeah,
oh man. We loved listening to your show. I don't think I missed one show.
It was nice having you guys, you know, text me, and sometimes I'd put on songs for you guys and you'd always be like, oh, that's my song.
Yeah, you did a couple songs for Mom. That was really cool. But that was awesome. So I hope you do it again. I feel like you enjoy it.
I fucking love it. It's so much fun. It's a great practice for me musically. Because it makes me think every week about, you know, themes in music. It makes me listen to music a lot harder. I think that it's helped my music playing. It's helped my music knowledge. And I just love it.
And do you think it's made you more organized?
Yeah. I think it's like, it was, you know, the show is one of those things where it's like, I'm not getting credit for it. I'm not really like, I don't have to do it if I don't want to. I could just like end it whenever I want. But, like, I made it a priority every week, even though I was, like, working and being a full-time student. So, definitely required some, you know, structure and, you know.
I would say one of the funniest moments that you weren't even on was, you know, depending on what happens, don't get nervous. I'm not going to say anything terrible. I want to, but I'm not.
I can tell on your voice.
You know what I want to talk about.
I know what
I'm
you
not
want
to
talk
do,
about.
I'm not going to talk about it. Don't worry. But there was a girl on before you who was doing a show, and she just started talking. Like, I don't think that anybody at that radio station is giving anybody any, like, advice on how they should sound. So I'm not 100% sure a lot of people are listening to the radio station anyway. But there's,
no
like...
No one is.
Well,
you guys are probably the only ones.
The problem is because there's, like, you know, doing a podcast or doing a radio show, there has to be a degree of organization. Like, old school radio shows, there is, like, some, you know, there is something to be said about, like, not just free-flowing. I think a lot of podcasts just kind of, like, go with the flow, and then they say whatever happens, happens. But I don't necessarily think that that's always a good thing. So this girl's just talking, and she goes, oh, the mouse doesn't work. Oh, man, the mouse doesn't work. Oh, the girl's waiting outside. The next person's waiting outside for their show, and the mouse isn't working. Oh, well. And then she got the fuck out of there, and you're like, the mouse doesn't work. I can't play
songs.
That was like,
I wish
that part of her being like the on-air realizing that there's a problem, and and I can't fix it for the next girl. Tough shit for her. I thought that was hilarious because she was just like, oh, man, we got a problem here. The mouse doesn't work. Oh, that girl's outside. Her show's coming up next. Oh, well, get the fuck out of here. I thought that was really funny.
I'm glad you think it was funny now, but in the moment, I was pretty fucking pissed.
I know you were.
I
know you were.
I was mad.
But the best part was it was like, it was this natural reaction to it. The machine.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't hear that part.
Oh, God.
And I had a good show lined up. I was mad, but yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes a good show, that shit happens. Like, I'll have a podcast ready to go.
The Clash episode. That's why I was mad.
That was the Clash episode. Yeah, but you did it the next week.
Yeah.
So here's the good part. Sometimes it happens with me, and then what I'll have to do is I hate having to like change, or somebody cancels at the last minute, or I cancel at the last minute, and you feel like, I don't want to leave a, I had this, you feel like you spent all this time preparing, and
you
then
get in
just,
the mindset.
Yeah, you get in the mindset, and you're just like changing gears sucks. But then sometimes if you wait a week on that episode, it gets better because like all of a sudden you have a new perspective on it, and you're there may be something will come pop up. The more you spend figuring out the show, the more things kind of happen.
Yeah.
Like that's what the one thing I'm the most surprised of with podcasting is like, if I just like didn't really think about it and then just the mic turns on, we just say what's, I was on a podcast once. The guy goes, oh, I don't know anything about you. Well, let me look at your Instagram. And I was just
Jesus Christ.
This is out of, you got to be out of your fucking mind, dude. I mean, this is how we do. This is how we start.
Yeah.
And he did that live. And I was just like, this is how we're starting in here.
Uh-huh.
And all I can think of is, man, I'm burning too much time right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, come on, give me a break, dude. But like sometimes the more you think of a show, and when I walk the dogs or when I walk with you or when I'm walking or something like that, something will pop up that I didn't necessarily think would think about it. And I would think that it's just kind of like kind of an interesting part that you don't expect.
Right. I agree with you. I always like, I mean, you're completely right. There was definitely weeks where I didn't really have the show as a priority, and it was like, I wasn't psyched about how it turned out. It was fine. But like, you know, I could have done a better job, but when you start, like, sometimes I'd start, like, a week before the show, and I would just, like, stew on it, and that was definitely, and do a lot of, like, I do so much research for the show, and I really enjoy that.
I hope you still have all your notes from all the shows.
Yeah. Well, I was taking paper notes for a while, and I would write down, you know, like...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'd put the order of the songs, and then I'd put like show notes in between the songs. And I would just write, like, little things I wanted to say, and sometimes I'd say, like, little quotes that I found online and stuff. I switched to my computer, unfortunately, but, yeah, I still have the original ones.
You gotta frame those up, because they're, like, you have different color pens.
Yeah, and, I got into it.
Your notes are always very good. All right.
That's fun.
Now, we have a couple things we gotta take care of.
All right.
All right. And we gotta talk about the snake.
Yep.
So what'd you say?
It's a biggie.
So here's the thing. So Lila's home for only a week. She's going to go back to, you're going back to, you're doing your internship back in California, which we're obviously we're a little sad just because we don't have Lila for
too.
The summer, but it's the right thing to do because this is, you're doing this internship for your major and it's involved with your major and the school's putting you up and it's
no brainer.
Yeah, you'd be crazy not to do it, and it's going to get you closer with your teachers, and it's ultimately going to be much better for you in your major. I'll be sad, but that's okay. I'm allowed to be sad.
I'll be back.
I know you'll be back. So we were supposed to get another car because my Jeep crapped the bed, and you would be able to, pardon me, have the Prius, but the problem is because of the way the world is right now, we just decided to kind of hold tight and just, you know, so... you and I have had, when you're home, you and I have to share the Prius.
Yeah.
So, and it's great. And I'm glad you're, thank you for being so, you know, you've been a good sport about it. Cause I know it can be a drag, you know.
Well, you have too. It was hard over the winter.
Well, you know,
we worked it out.
You know, we're not multimillionaires here. And I think it's good to kind of like not have to, we're living a life of opulence and we're just like focusing on you. And if I need to drive a Prius 200,000 miles on it, and it's fine.
215.
Yeah, whatever. Oh. Don't, who's counting, right? I mean, you are. So now you needed the car. You were going to do a little baking at your old bakery. And I said, hey, do you think you could drop me off at the shop? So this is the first time you've driven me back to the shop. It's early in the morning. Take it away.
Okay. We pull up to the shop, and I think you needed the keys, whatever. You open up the big roll doors. Immediately, snake time. I don't even know. I don't know how I had my phone out. I don't know what happened. Everything was kismet. And there's this huge fucking snake in the corner of the shop. And it's perked up. And it's looking at you. And it's hissing. And it's long as shit. And then, coincidentally, you have your little snake grabber, like,
well,
in the corner.
Let's get back. So the reason why is apparently, in the spring and the summer, the snakes come inside if there's like a, well, we got to get into that later.
Yeah.
But I had my friend John Ledford, who you've known since you were a baby.
Yeah.
And he happens to be by, and he's a big animal rescue guy. And last year I called him up and he came over and he got the snake. So in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, well, I can't call John up every time there's a snake. So I went online to get one of these snake grabbers, a humane snake grabber. I don't like touching snakes. I don't want to fucking touch any animals, frankly. I don't want anything to do with it. I know that this, you know, I was told last year, I was humiliated by everyone saying, oh, it was harmless. Fine. I don't care. I don't want
to
pick it up.
Okay, but see, the thing is, and here's what I have to say to all your followers, like, love and support, love and peace, love you, love, whatever. I don't care. If you fucking saw this snake, you would have shat your pants. I swear to God. I swear to God. It was massive. And the video, when you like dropped it the first time, it like recoiled and like slammed on the ground. It was fucking huge. And you guys are the real pussies. And that's what I have to say.
Listen, so here's what. So I got this grabber because I was like, I can't be calling John all the time. And I didn't need it again last year. So I knew where it was. And then when I opened the door and I saw the snake, and it was like a big snake. It was the same. It looked like the same snake as last time.
I feel like it looks bigger, no?
Well, that's the thing. It was the same color and everything like that. And apparently it's a rat snake. I had John come over and he says a rat snake. But it was big. It was like, it was over, because it was the length of that short wall, which is 5 feet. And John said it was about a 5.5 foot snake. Those snakes can get up to 6 to 8 feet, which is like madness.
Yeah.
That's fucking madness. So the one last year was much smaller. This one was a biggie.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot. I'm going to post the video uncensored on tonight's Full Blast Podcast on Instagram, because if you listen to Knife Talk, our Fader Knives, I had to put a lot of bleeps in because my friend over here can't seem to control herself.
No, when it comes... lost my mind. I fully 100% lost it.
Yeah. Yeah, you
honestly
did.
The bleeped version is funnier because it's like there is like a moment where I don't think like one like non-explicit word came out of my mouth.
So
bleep, 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 bleep.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, stop the podcast right now. Go to Fader Knives on Instagram, and the video, the snake video, is like a couple of them down. You can watch the video, and then we're going to do the Zapruder. The Zapruder an analysis of this tape, because the tape is hilarious.
Yeah.
So Lila takes the phone on, and here's the best part. Lila's behind the window, and she's got one hand on the camera and one hand on the window up and down button. And she's going up and down with the window, which is hilarious, number one. Number two is I'm so nonchalant. I had my backpack on one shoulder, which was a disaster. That's from my high school days. But it's like the most. I was
trying to be cool.
I was trying to be cool.
You did look kind of cool in the video. You look like you had your shit together, except at the end.
Well, so I got the one strap on, which is you know, in any type of perilous situation, one strap on your backpack is a wreck. And then I had my coffee in my hand, so I couldn't. So I grabbed it, but I made a mistake. I didn't really figure out how big it was. I grabbed it closer to the head. The problem was it was so heavy that it just slipped right out, and I felt like I didn't want to hurt the goddamn thing, you know. So then it started to kind of decide to rip into the shop, and then my tile saw was in the way, so I had to run around the tile saw, and then I grabbed it by his middle. And then I walked out. Now, the funny part is you're cursing your brains out.
Yeah, I'm losing
You're
my
also
mind.
Thinking that I'm going to put it in the car.
Well, let me tell you. Okay, so when you're saying, like, I had one hand on the camera, the other going up and down on the window, for some reason, I had this fear in the back of my brain that you're going to, like, dangle it in front of the car and it's going to accidentally drop in. And, like, honestly, that would have made for an awesome video.
That would have actually been
unbelievable.
Oh, that would have been the most. That would have probably ruined our relationship. Number one, I would have never have done that.
Oh my god,
I would have never have done that.
I can see it in my mind's eye. It was just like, I don't know. I was scared. I don't see snakes on the regular. By the way, I was telling you the last time I saw a snake was at the fucking zoo. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
That was a big snake, and it was definitely like zoo quality size.
Oh, biggie, capital B.
But I would have never have done that. But it's hilarious that you thought that. You're cursing your brains out, and then I'm trying to be cool, and I'm like, ah, oh, another day at the office, and I'm dragging, and the funniest part is I'm bringing it to the woods, not far away, which was a huge mistake.
It's probably two snake lengths distance. That's the best part.
Well, he ended up coming back, you know, a couple hours later. So you're not wrong. The best part was I had the radio on. And you're bleep, bleep, bleeping it, and then you said, and we got NPR up in this piece, or what did you say?
Yeah, I was like, we got the NPR on and everything.
Yeah, that was the best part. And then another good part was, it was sports radio, but as soon as you said, and we got NPR on and everything, you could hear the radio go 100%.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome. And then I took the snake on the stick, and I was going to fling him into the woods.
Oh, and this part's my favorite.
Go ahead.
I feel like at this point you feel like you've conquered the issue and you feel like you're like, you got it all under control.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you say? You're like, what did you say?
I was going to say, fuck out of here.
Yeah. You were like, get the fuck. But then you didn't even get the C out. And then it like recoiled at you and you go, ah, so you're like, get the fuck. Yeah. So good.
I like that you noticed that too.
That was the funniest part.
That was funny because I was going to be like this tough New Yorker.
I know.
You get the fuck out of here.
This is what we do at Fader Knives. And then this fucking garden snake, you know, shimmies a little.
Hey, no, he came back at me. He didn't like it. He didn't like it. He didn't like it.
Yeah, he did not like it.
Didn't like it at all. However, so the whole point was like, here's the crazy part. I love that video. That was hilarious, that video.
We watched that video probably individually like 15 times that day.
Well, there's so many little funny moments between the two of us that like, the best part is Ben Snur goes, I understand. I said, yeah, she was moving the window up and down. And she goes, I understand, but she's got to learn how to be more brave for the sake of the video, which I thought was a hilarious thing to say, too.
You know? That was really funny.
Well, he deals with, like, rattlesnakes. Like, these things are deadly. Like, he's got to, like, I mean, it's not, he doesn't do what we, I mean, these are not that kind. I mean, these are big snakes. So here's the thing. With fucking the internet. I strictly use social media for the business. That's how I started Fader Knives. That's how I started really getting some, you know, traction with my art. So with the Fader Knives, I always thought to myself, like, I don't go political. I don't need to be a guru. I don't need people to be like, oh yeah, I got to change the way I think. I don't want any of that. I want you to buy my knives. You know, that's it. Buy my shit. That's what I want. You know?
Yeah.
But the problem is you have to have some kind of content that is compelling enough that people watch. And when they watch, maybe they'll stick around, you know?
Right.
So we do a lot of cooking stuff. I do knife stuff. And then once in a while, some funny video like that happens. I'm putting it in because, I mean, it's just like, what else? I mean, you know.
Yeah. That video is funny because I feel like in the moment we were both just like chasing maximum hilariousness.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And like I felt like in the moment I was trying to be as funny as I possibly could. Like I was thinking about, you know, America's Funniest Videos, and then, you know, you were definitely doing the same thing too, and it was just fucking funny.
Well, oh, so but funny. ultimately, I don't want to hurt these. I don't want to hurt animals, you know.
Right.
I didn't want to hurt the snake because it's just like, and in my mind, honestly, if I'm honest about it, I knew it wasn't like a poisonous snake. I knew it wasn't a dangerous snake. I feel like there's so much like weird like G10 dust and and steel dusts. I can't believe that would be good for the snake. You know, and
yeah.
I just thought, like, I don't like it when dogs are in the shop because I'm afraid they're going to get something on their paws. So with the snake, I'm just well, it's true. I bring Bessie in here, and I'm always just like, oh, Jesus, don't, you know, hopefully it doesn't. she doesn't step on something bad. But with the snake, I'm like, the snake, this isn't for a snake. So
well, yeah, because it's like its whole body's on the ground. You think about
I don't know anything. Look, I'm not going to pretend like I know anything. Yes, yes. Thank you. I didn't realize. I just didn't. In my mind, I'm thinking this thing's rolling around in G10 dust. Next thing you know, it's got cancer tomorrow. You know,
Lord. Not the snake cancer. Oh, God.
I mean, I'm worried about a snake,
you know,
over
what?
Here.
For the month of June, Vader Knives is supporting cancer and snakes.
Not for. Against. Snake cancer, ladies and gentlemen.
No snake cancer.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You know what,
though? Go ahead.
That snake fucking loved the snake cancer because he got up in that ceiling.
Yeah, so the next that night when I was, if you listen to the last episode of Knife Talk, in the middle, we had Carly from Damasteel on, and I said, guys, I got to pause it. And they're like, what do you – or I have to turn the mute on. Why? I said, the goddamn snake is back. The snake was crawling up into the ceiling, into the thing, and I didn't bring it far enough away, and he's up in the ceiling.
That video was terrible.
Oh, him.
The second one wasn't even funny. Like, the one where you're showing it going to the ceiling, just ominous.
He's up in there. I mean –
yeah, I believe it.
So I got a lot of people – I'm amazed at what people said. Number one, people said, you got to kill it. Which is crazy. I'm not doing that. You know, it's just like, you know, if there was like a, you know, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And then there are people like, oh, don't worry. It's just a regular. Don't worry. Don't be such a pussy. Just pick it up. I'm like, fuck you too. I mean, I don't want that. And another guy goes, don't use those grabbers because they can really hurt the snake. And I'm just like, no, it's specifically for snakes. I'm trying to get it out, you know, and this is the thing with the internet. I mean, everybody's got an opinion and everyone wants to voice their, like, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say your responses to these people are always so funny. And I remembered this one time you did, like, you posted from a swim meet and I'm doing the butterfly stroke and you can't see my hands. And someone says, does she have no hands? And you replied back, she has hands. And your responses to these people are always just so dry. And it makes me laugh so hard.
Well, the reason why is I don't have time or energy to fight people on the internet. Like, people say you just look at yourself and you know, that's where I'm with you comes from. That's where the champagne glasses come from. It's like the conversation stopper.
Yeah.
And the problem is like, I don't have the time or energy, nor I'm too fragile to be fighting with these people.
That's
true.
Funny.
It's true.
Hey, you know what? I can support that is true.
Well, you don't have to be so vociferous about it. I mean, Jesus. I'm just saying that, like, I know for a fact that I can't get into arguments with people online because then you think, oh, what are they going to say? And then what am I going to say? And did I say something good enough? Or they spent too much time. See, that's the other thing is, like, if you say something to someone, they have all this time to, like, craft some, you know, comeback.
Right.
Whereas in real life, you don't have that.
Exactly.
You know, I say something and you say something and it's over. I mean, your grandfather used to cripple me. I was always a bad put down guy because my dad would go to the A-bomb. You know, he'd just like level me and I just never learned how to be a good put down guy. But at the same time, I know that I'm not a good put down guy and I accept that I'm not a good put down guy. But when people like wait you know, their craft and what they're going to say. I can't be involved with that. You can't do research on your next put down. You know, you can't study before you decide what to say. You either say it or you don't say it. So I'm just like, I'm not good at this. I'm not going to fucking, and I also don't want to waste my energy and whole day deciding on what to say. So my whole bit is I don't fight for free.
Right.
Because I got 3 hours of podcasting a week to burn.
Yeah.
I'm going to burn you here where there's no way for you to respond. It's totally a one-sided situation that I'm going to get paid. I'm going to pay to be. If I had a fight, I'm going to pay to get fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's true.
So I don't generally fuck with people at all. And I was just like,
if you're going to do it, you got to monetize it. That's,
I mean, if I'm going to do it, I got to get paid. So that's the only way I can do it. Otherwise, it's too much fragile energy that I don't have.
Yeah,
I need to focus my energy where it counts. So, you know, the business and you and mom, and I can't be like, I wonder what he said next. You know, it's like, I for nobody, you know.
Yeah.
So one of my guys who I know, and he's my guy, but at the same time, he got me out. He got me out of me saying I only fight for free. He got me to fight a little bit. And I should have not fought. And he wrote to me and he said, and he's my guy. And if I see him, I'm going to break his balls when I see him next time. And I have a new nickname for him, but I'm not going to tell you anything about it.
Oh, Lord.
But it's fine. It will be a miserable time for him in the moment. It will not be a miserable time if he listens to this, because we're fine. And when I see him, he might get uncomfortable, but it's fine. So he wrote to me, he says, well, you have rats in your shop. It's a rat snake. And that triggered me because, like, I definitely feel very self-conscious about my shop, about the profession I have. My dad used to belittle me and call me, oh, my son, the welder. And they look down on me to a certain degree, and I never felt like I was respected. So for some reason, when this guy I know
I
is my
no friend, respect.
I get no respect.
Sorry.
So when he said, you have rats in your shop. What'd you say?
I said I had to let that one out.
You did a good job. So when he said, you have rats in your shop, that my like subconscious went down to like, I'm in squalor, I'm garbage, this is garbage. You know, like that. I wrote to him and I said, there are no rats here. Because I don't eat here. There's no food in the shop. I've never seen rat droppings. I've never seen mouse droppings. There's no vermin. Anything when you move stuff around. I've never seen mice in the shop. I feel very good about it. And John ended up telling me that, you know, well, you know, in these times, you know, there's a lot of squirrels in my area and chipmunks, and the rat snake might be going after them. And, you know, he's looking for somewhere dry to be or warm, and the ceiling might be the place to be, and you never know. So my guy goes, well, you have rats in your, I believe the rat. I believe the snake over you. And I'm like, well, and then I stupidly said, and so I stupidly said, well, you believe anything. Oof. And then I made a huge mistake. Well, I didn't think I was going for, remember how I said, you know, if you spend time to think about what to write, maybe you do something better. But in my mind, I'm just like, I don't have time to like prepare my response. You know, you believe anything. He sent me his resume. As like a snake, somebody who's removed snakes. Oh, 30 years of snake. And I'm like, okay. I don't need to send me a resume. And I left it there. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I fucked up because I shouldn't have read it. I shouldn't have said anything. I should have been like, yeah, I know all about it. But the funny thing is all these guys, especially in the maker community, they're all like hobbyist welders and hobbyist woodworkers and hobbyist this and hobbyist that. A lot of them don't have a lot of experience as metal workers. And they'll all do these DIY videos on welding, and then you'll see all these responses of people being like, oh, that's shit. And, you know, I haven't been a welder, a union welder for 30 years, and this is the worst weld. This weld looks like I'm hemorrhoids and this chicken shit bullshit. And they're all just like, oh, yeah. And then they fight him. And all I can think of is this motherfucker did what he hates happened to him. People sending their resume. But at the same time, it was like, goddamn, it was exhausting. But it was funny. But I was surprised at how many people, like, one guy goes, "Ah, oh, you should cut the head off with a shovel." I'm like, what, are you crazy?
Jesus
why is
Christ.
It so? Why is this so specific? Number one, it's just like, I just want to relocate him. However, he didn't listen when I relocated him. I didn't.
Well, you didn't put him very far.
No, I
mean,
didn't put.
A crumb trail for him to come right back.
I certainly did. I did. I left a crumb trail.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll. I think maybe the picture of him going into the ceiling will be the.
Can't stand that picture.
All right, maybe I will. I got to put a few in there. But yeah, so the snake was funny. But the funnier part was is all the great parts of it were the fact that you got to see it and you were like your commentary and the bleeping and that was so much fun.
Everything and everyone was in the right position for that to be like
crazy.
As funny as possible.
Yeah, crazy, like. Crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy. If I had put it in the car, I would have been a horrible father.
I don't know what would have happened, honestly.
That would have been like
that video
one of those...
would have been so fucking funny, though.
That video would have been so funny, but I think that it would be something that you'd never let me forget. My whole life.
I don't think you would ever forget that.
No. My whole job. You know, I don't think I've ever told you this, but my plan as your father has always been to make sure I don't give you a traumatic moment that you blame me for the rest of your life.
Thanks.
I don't want you to be like, "Hey, Dad, remember when you dropped the snake in the car and I, you know, pooped my pants?"
Hey.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I probably would have if you had done that.
And you would have never let me forget about it.
No.
Oh, now this is the reason why I don't like, that's why I don't water the lawn. Why don't you water the lawn? Because I don't like garden hoses because they remind me of that goddamn snake that Dad dropped on me. I don't want to be part of your traumas.
That's funny. Thank you.
I don't want to be part of your traumas. As speaking
Thanks.
Of traumas, now we have to address a.
Oh God.
We got to address an issue that we teased in the beginning. Now you know here. You know what the best part about the spring is in the last 2 years is when you come home, the Knicks are in the playoffs.
I know.
How cool
it's
is that?
So fun. It's so much fun,
dude. This Knicks season has been unbelievable, and
it's
the last
perfect.
Two seasons have been great.
It's perfect because I don't really watch sports when I'm at school and, like, I don't really give a fuck. But then when I come back home, it's, like, the most important time. So it's, like, I'm hitting the maximum excitement, you know?
Oh, and we're all Knicks'd out in the house.
Yeah,
and Knicks shirts.
Your fucking Crocs on and every item that you wear is Knicks. And
yeah.
My mom's excited and I'm wearing my shit, too. It's fun.
A funny part about mom is she needs complete domination from her team. Like she doesn't.
I know.
She
can't stand
Pearl,
a
Pearl.
Neck and neck.
Does
no.
not like Pearl whatsoever. So
that's funny that you say that because it's true.
It's true. She every time she's like, "I can't handle this." I'm like, "Dude, come on. This is the best part." She's like, "She wants complete domination."
No, you're totally right.
If it isn't complete domination, she gets really anxious about it. So she'll just have to leave the room. But so you and I were gonna go to a Knicks game. With my friend, high school friend, Eric, and I've been going to Knicks games. We really started going before the pandemic a number of years ago. My high school class decided that we're going to do reunions, but we're not going to do it at the school. We're going to do it at Madison Square Garden during a Knicks game. So the whole class went down, and that was one of the most fun nights I can remember. Because now we're all, you know, we're not, you know, 17, 18-year-olds anymore. Now we're all alter cockers. And we went down, they got us a box, and we got to watch. We were reminiscing, we were laughing the whole time and watching this Knicks game. And then I got to see Howard Stern was in the front row. I'll put that in the, and if you go to Full Blast Podcast on Instagram, I'll show you my zoom in of Howard Stern at the front row, which was like, for me, that was the pinnacle. And, so Eric and I would go every year a couple times, and it's been great. We'd go out and get a steak, and then we'd go to a game or two. And then the last 2 years have been amazing. And we went to a few games last year, and then, you know, now that they're good, the prices are out of control, so it was really hard. So I made Eric and his family a fireplace tool and I think a shovel and a fireplace poker, and he's just like, "Oh, you get that, and I'll get the tickets." So he was going to bring his daughter, who's your age, and I was going to bring you. We're going to get some dinner, and we're going to go down to Madison Square Garden. I think it was the Knicks Pistons, which would have been a precursor to the first round of the playoffs. So in my mind, I'm thinking, great, we're going to drive. I refuse to pay congestion pricing. So I'm going to park them. I was going to, this is a problem too, because there's congestion pricing just started and they were charging cars like, you know, 10 bucks. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to drive in and then pay congestion pricing. We're going to drive in. So I'm going to park the car on the Upper East Side next to the restaurant, just below the, you know, the line where they start to, you know, charge you for their congestion pricing. We get out, we park, I found a parking space by the restaurant, which is unbelievable. We walk up. I don't think that you're feeling bad at all.
Well, okay. Well, let me give a little more context. I was home for about a month in December, January, and I had gotten my wisdom teeth taken out, all four of them at once, maybe like a few weeks before this. And then, you know, we're going to this game like right before I go back to school. And we're actually, I realized this today, the last podcast we did was the same day. It was the same day as the game that we're talking about right
now. That's right. We were about to leave for the game when we were recording the last episode that you were on. Yep. That's right. You're 100% right.
Yeah, so we recorded it. It was pretty good. And then...
you sounded fine. You didn't sound sick or anything.
I didn't feel bad. I felt totally normal. I remember we were, like, driving into the city, and I started to... I thought I was just, like, you know, I'm 20 now. Maybe I just get car sick, and this is being an adult. It's not the case. But that genuinely was what I was thinking.
Well, your mom gets car sick sometimes.
Yeah, she does. It was a long car ride. Whatever.
Park the car, get to the restaurant.
As soon as we get inside, I feel like something like washed over me. It was like the lighting and like the smell and like everyone was so close together, and it just like,
and the heat difference between outside and inside.
Oof, it just like flipped a switch and I was like, something was wrong. You know, it was like, you know, that feeling when you're like,
Yeah.
So we're like waiting for our friends, and then like we finally get seated, and I'm like, I'm sweating profusely, and I'm like losing it, and like, you know when you get all woozy and like the sound comes in and out, and you're like focusing on all these things, and God, it's just like you're in this terrible like zone of like sensory issues. I don't even know. I was losing my mind.
Yeah,
we're at JG Mellon, by the way. Can never go back, sorry. So anyways, I'm like, salute. I'm sweating my ass off, and so I go step outside because everyone notices, and I don't know how I look to you, but I felt terrible.
You didn't look great.
Yeah, so I'm outside, and it's January in New York, so it's like...
freezing.
Maybe we're in the tens, maybe, and it's at night. I'm like standing outside of the restaurant, and like... your jersey. I was wearing a t-shirt in your jersey, short sleeves and like, you know, pants or whatever. And I'm like mildly comfortable in temperature wise. And I'm just like, oh God, like I need to get this together because we're like all the way out in the city and we're about to watch this Knicks game. And I really did have a moment where I was like, I got to get this together. Like I got to fix this, you know?
So you went to the bathroom for a long period of time.
I did. It was long.
That's why I thought something was wrong. The only time I thought something was wrong was you went to the bathroom and you were in there for a while. And I was like, all right, something's not right.
Yeah. I felt like a little bit better after that.
Did you barf in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, you know, came back. I was able to eat a little bit and like, you know. I felt a little bit better. And then I remember I was like, okay, like I got to get it together and like, you know, be normal. And you were all the way out here and, you know, this is a gift to us and to you. And so, you know, we finish our dinner and we're like taking the subway down to Madison Square Garden, you know, getting on the subway. It's like, fine. I'm feeling like myself again.
You look like by the time we get to Madison Square Garden, I felt like, all right, I think she's okay.
Yeah, I felt a lot better. Like, I was pretty, like, I had convinced myself that I felt a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I did.
Yeah.
And then, so we're, like, you know, walking a little bit. We're getting in line to get inside the building.
If you know Madison Square Garden, you go through, like, a gateway. You go through, like, a doorway, and then there's a long covered corridor to get to the stairs to get inside the building.
Right. Right before you get to security.
We're on the stairs, and you turn to me and say,
I need to go to the bathroom.
Right now.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what you meant. I grabbed you. We started going down the stairs.
Well, and before that even happened, I think I turned to you and I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And you're like, okay, like, let's try to find one. Turned around, immediately hurled, like, projectile.
Yeah, but you had your hand over your mouth.
Yeah, but it did not matter.
And what did you hear?
I hear the security guard go, oh!
Oh!
Oh, that was funny.
And I grabbed you. I dragged you out to the street. We got some... We got some napkins from a hot dog guy.
Yeah.
And some water. I bought a water.
Well, yeah. I'm like, I can't believe this happened. I'm just in total shock and I'm so embarrassed. And I'm like, you know, barf is dripping down my shoes and it's just a disaster.
Barfed on the stairs of Madison Square Garden.
And New York City is just disgusting. So everything is already just disgusting. And, you know, you're giving me water and you're helping me clean myself up. And I turn. And I see this guy with his pants down, underwear down. He's wiping his bare ass on the Bank of America or Capital Bank of America. And he's just like yelling. And that was the grossest part of the night.
The fucking hot dog guys give, you know, obviously he don't care. But yeah. The dude is rubbing his bare ass on the Bank of America.
That was unbelievable.
That was
really unbelievable.
That was the beginning of the Odyssey.
Oh, my God. We literally completed the Odyssey that night. So, you know, I had projectile vomited, as I have said.
And you're not going back in there. I'm taking you home.
I feel like there was a second where I was trying to convince you that I was going to be okay. Because I really wanted you to go to the game. And, I felt really, really bad that, I couldn't get it together. And, you know, you were really looking forward to it. We'd been talking about it for a long time. And it was a gift from Eric, so.
Right.
Anyways.
Well, we called your mom, and your mom was like, I'll come down to get her. And I'm like, no, I'm going to take her home. She goes, no, you should stay for the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm here with my kid. This is also, I mean, you didn't need to know this, but this is also, it was a bit of a good dad trap. Like, if I had said, okay, Hill, I'll leave her here on the corner. I'm going to go into the game. That would have been like some bullshit. I'm not going to fall off. That's banana tailpipe shit right there.
But you were just so excited. Like, I would have wanted you to go back and
no, but
the
you're
game,
my fucking kid. You're my daughter. You're my I remember you when you were born. What do you think I'm gonna do is leave you by the goddamn bank butt rubber?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna leave the guy fucking rubbing his ass on the Bank of America. Hey, watch her for a while her mom comes back so I can watch the Knicks and the Pistons.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have blamed you. But,
I would have blamed me. That would have been
awful. I think that the version that actually happened was much more memorable and much, you know, it's disgusting, but it's a much nicer story.
Well, I mean, so right, now the hardest part is now the car is not only on the, it's now we're at 38th and 7th for Madison Square Garden. The car is on like 72nd and second.
Yeah,
so it's like
there.
It's a tough spot. It's tough to get through. And if we got into a cab, there's no way you're not throwing up in that cab.
No, not even a shot.
Not even a close. So now we have to walk. So then the idea is either we got to get on the subway, but we can't get on a west subway. We have to go one subway. So yeah. I'm saying, all right, maybe we need to walk toward the 6 train, which is walking completely east. And we're walking and you're trying to make yourself burp a lot. I remember there was a lot of you're trying to make yourself burp a lot.
That.
And every 5 minutes I'm just like, are you okay? You're gonna barf, you're gonna barf, you're gonna barf, you're gonna barf, you're gonna barf. And I don't have anything, so I run into we get to one Korean deli and I try to get bag. I get you some Gatorade or something like that.
Yeah.
Or water, and then I try to get some plastic bags. They got no plastic bags. And then it's
not
like,
eco-friendly.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'm thinking to myself, well, we're going to have to get on the 6th train. And all we need is we're at 38th Street, so we need 38th, let's say 42nd, 53rd, 58th. Oh, we get off at Hunter, so maybe 4 stops. So I'm thinking if I can get her on the subway, 4 stops, and then in my mind I'm thinking this is the Odyssey because we're trying to walk west and you're stopping every so often to get a breath of clean of air, and you're burping, but you don't know if you're going to barf, and you're trying to, pull it together. We decide to get to the train station. I reach into my pocket and there's one dog shit bag.
We pick up the dog poop.
And we're gonna, and it's the question of, can we get on this train? And you're not looking great. And we go to the garbage can and you're kind of gulping air. And I'm like, are you gonna be okay? And I don't know. And I give you the bag and then you roll up the bag. God bless the company that makes these poop bag. Whoever made this poop bag, you deserve some sort of medal. It was like what you were able to accomplish with this bag was like, I mean, I was stunned. I was stunned.
When I tell you, I filled the entire bag.
Entire.
I swear to God.
Entire. You had it both hands to the fucking brim.
Like, yeah, there's probably like a half inch left.
Barely. Enough to hold with your fingers to curl it around.
Yeah.
Or your fingers so it wouldn't drop out of your hands.
It was unbelievable. I remember we're like in the subway. And, like, every time the subway comes by, you're like, can you do it? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, like, three subways went by before we could get on.
And I also remember you had to drop that bag into the garbage can. There wasn't enough bag to tie it up.
No.
So you basically dropped the barf blivet into the bottom of that garbage can. Right?
Exactly.
It was this heavy-ass, open barf blivet. That you just drop down there, and then we're gonna do it. And you get on the train, and one stop. There's one more stop. Can you make it? One more stop. And you're like, yes. You're just like, yes, Dad. Next stop. We got two more stops. Can you make it? Yeah. One more stop. You make it. We get you out of there. And we walk to the car, and we get you in the car. We lower the seat down, and I got you home.
Yeah, I was like lights out.
Lights out. And I
was
like,
that was unbelievable. That, I mean. You know, I know Parent of the Year. I felt like there's just so many moments from that night that, like, when I tell that story, I can't even vocalize half of it just because it was so disgusting. and, like, just unbelievable. But you were really there for me the whole time. And you didn't, there was not one time when you made a joke, when you made a comment, when you didn't even, like, let out, like, an ugh. You just, like, you were there. You were like, are you okay? What can I get for you? You got me to safety. I was bedridden for, like, 24 hours.
Yeah.
I was really sick after that.
Yeah.
That was not chill.
Norovirus.
Yeah, I had noro. That was brutal.
Well.
Disgusting. But thank you for being there for me.
Listen, I don't know what it is about being a parent, but when you're a parent, you don't. That stuff doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I mean, I remember when you were a baby, I lift you up in my my hands. I lift you up in my, and I said, you're a baby. Who's the cutest baby? Who's the cutest baby? Who's the cutest baby? And then you just fucking barfed and filled my entire mouth up.
Well, I was an
with like
that
yogurty
time.
Barf. And your
I think
mother
that was on you.
And your mother was crippled with laughter, and I'm standing there, I'm holding you over my head, I have a mouthful of fucking yogurty barf, and I'm going, I'm calling for Hillary, she's got her legs crossed because she's trying not to urinate, pee herself, she's laughing, she's crippled, she cannot help me whatsoever.
Oh my God.
But I don't, you know, you for you, it's anything. You're my girl, man. You're the best. And I felt terrible for you. I didn't give a shit about the game. I like going to Madison Square Garden, but the funniest part is I'm such an alter cocker. I know when am I going to get home and how am I going to get to sleep and what time am I going to – I got to wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and am I going to get enough sleep? So, like, watching it at home is perfectly fine by me.
Yeah.
But I felt terrible for you because I know you were excited about it, and I was just kind of like the – but the funniest part was – the funniest part was a number of weeks, a month, maybe a few, I guess a few months later, I was watching the Knicks game. The only games I missed are since Hillary got me the MSG package. The only things that I missed have been away games where they're start, you know, if they're in California and they start late, I can stay up for that. But so we're watching this game, Madison Square Garden, and Mike Breen and Clyde Frazier are doing the play-by-play, who are legends and are amazing. And there's a stoppage, and you just don't know why. It's like it's not a timeout, it's not a thing, and the cameraman doesn't know what to do, and they're looking on the faces, and they're trying to, and Clyde and Mike are vamping, and they're just, all of a sudden it comes to the point, conclusion that they're saying, oh, this break is because someone on the court has become sick. So we're wondering, well, what the hell happened? And it's just like strange. And you can see everybody, the players' faces are kind of like squirreling their faces up and all weird. And then all of a sudden, I mean, so what I do is I'll watch, this is how such an old dork I am. So what I do is I'll watch the first half, and then halftime is like a good, maybe 10 minutes. It gives me enough time to take the garbage and recycling out and get the dogs out for their last league of the night. And then by the time it's over, I can brush my teeth and get into bed and watch the rest of the game in bed.
Mm-hmm.
So halftime's over, blah, 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 blah. Mike Breen, someone got sick. Hillary turns to me and she goes, do you know who got sick at the game? And she hands me her phone. Tracy Morgan he's sitting the front row, and he's got his, I don't know, he's wearing a fur coat or what the hell he's wearing, like some fur fucking jumpsuit or something like that. he's sitting down, he's got his legs spread, and he's just vomiting straight to his feet.
Oh, that picture is unreal.
It's unbelievable. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Like,
it's
way
terrible.
More disgusting than you. At least you were just like, Brandon, stay in here.
Yeah.
Let's fucking have a little bit of dignity here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the last thing you need is to be, barfing on someone. So he's throwing up. And then I wrote to you. I'm like, look, you and Tracy Morgan. And here's the bottom line. You and Tracy Morgan have some. And then Eric's just like, yeah. Lila and Tracy Morgan. And then we've come to the conclusion that you and Tracy anointed Madison Square Garden, and that's the reason why we're on this historic run.
Oh,
now
God.
The Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Eric said to me, he's like, yeah, Lila did it. Lila did it all herself. You did it. You did it. That had nothing to do with the team. It's you barfed on the steps, and that was the good luck charm, and then Tracy barfed.
That's fucking funny.
So here you go.
You know what? I'll take it.
Take it. Take it.
That's really funny.
Listen. You are the best.
Poor Tracy.
Ah, poor Tracy. Get the fuck out of here, poor Tracy.
You know what's funny, though?
Nothing poor Tracy about poor Tracy. Tracy got hit by a fucking Walmart man. And now he's a multi-billionaire. Yeah, he makes jokes. He says, I'm on 95. I'm on Route 95. I'm waiting for an Amazon truck to hit me now. Don't worry about him.
What's funny is I didn't tell my friends about that story for a long time, about me throwing up at Madison Square Garden, because it was just so embarrassing. But then when I told them, they all made the exact same sound as a security guard. And that really killed me.
Yeah, that was a real New York situation right
there.
Well,
it's also funny because after that, I was like, if I had to be in this position anywhere in the world and with anyone, like, this is my ideal situation. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because in New York, it's like, this is like, I'm just adding to the ambiance, Like,
yeah.
I'm not even close to, the center of attention right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're just a cog in the wheel.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were so good to me.
Well, you listen, I love you, kid. You know that. You're my best. You're the best. Addie, you're the best thing that ever happened to me, and your mother and I are so proud of you, proud of the person that you are, and, all we want is to give you the things that you need to be successful, but I think you got it all on your own.
Thanks.
You got a good sense of, you're doing great in school. We're crossing our fingers for maybe we have a little bit of study abroad next semester, someplace pretty exciting, but I don't want to put a can of her on and talk about it, but it's pretty exciting. And you're doing great. You're doing great. And you're going to go back to California. When this comes out, you'll have a couple days here, and then you're going to go back to California. I got to cook you a couple meals that you want before you leave.
Yeah.
And you're going to do on your internship. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Proud of you, too.
I love you.
I love you, too.
All right, guys. What else is there to say? I mean, that was fun. Did you have fun?
Yeah, that was very fun. Yeah.
All right,
we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground. You covered a lot of ground. And no one learned anything, which is the most important part. There's no... I don't think that I don't think that I needed
That's
to.
That's funny.
There wasn't necessary for any like learning experiences. For
no lessons, episode. Just entertainment.
Yeah, no
you know,
lessons.
That's something I've learned is I just want to be entertained.
There you go. Where you go? So, with you. All right. There you go. All right, guys, listen to me. Thank you so much for the support. How you can support this podcast is to share it on your stories. You can also leave a review wherever you listen to this. Hit the 5 stars. Reach out to me. Follow us on Instagram at Full Blast Podcast on Instagram, where you can interact with the show. I have Pat Quinn coming on for another great question with Pat Quinn. So I need your blacksmithing questions, and I need your support for my race. If you're listening to this and you think, I want to help Jeff, well, Jeff's running the New York City Marathon for the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and I feel great. I've turned the corner. I'm starting to feel great. So you can. There's a link in the bio of Full Blast Podcast and Fader Knives, and you can help me support my race because Michael J. Fox might come at me with a baseball bat if I don't raise all that money. You know what I'm saying? Lila!
Oh.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Thank you for coming back on. It's always a
Thanks
pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
All right, good. I'll see you in a minute.
All right.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much, Lila.
Thank you.